there was no one to save them. My enemies cried to God to save them, but there was no one answered. There was no one there. So why does God save some and not others? What was so bad about David's enemies that David got good and his enemies didn't? Where do I have to point this thing to make it move on? Can we just move on one? Yes. So this is verse 20 to 24, and I thought you just might like to see it. Various psalms have different ways of doing poetry. The Hebrew poets had different ways of doing it. Sometimes they started every clause with a different letter of the alphabet, and sometimes they did different things. But in this particular bit, these four verses, 5 verses, it's what's called, it's got parallelism and it's got chiastic structure. Now there's nice theological things to say. So we've got, the Lord has dealt with me according to my righteousness at the beginning. The Lord has rewarded me according to my righteousness at the end. According to the cleanness of my hands at the beginning. According to the cleanness of my hands at the end. I don't know if you can see those in the different colours. Then as you come nearer to the middle, I have kept, I am not guilty. And then verse 23, I have kept myself from sin. So again, and then into the middle, you have all his laws are before me. I have not turned away from his decrees. And quite often when you see this, what they call a chiastic structure, it kind of comes through to the middle, saying the middle is the most important bit. The middle of this is the most important bit. All his laws are before me. I have not turned away from his decrees. This is David speaking. Is it true? Nope. It's not true, is it? He didn't. He committed adultery and then he committed murder to try and cover it up. So what is happening here? What is happening here? I think David is stressing that to obey God's law is the key thing. But David knew what it was to be forgiven. David knew what it was to be forgiven. David knew what it was to have his sin washed away. David knew what it was to be able to say, it's as if I'd never sinned. I've obeyed his laws. I have not turned from his decrees. I've been blameless before him, because he's washed it away. And he was somebody who didn't know the blood of Christ. Jesus, of course, is the only one who's truly blameless. The only one, Jesus Christ, the only one who can say, I am not guilty. Jesus is the only one, actually, who can pray this with reality. I am not guilty. I am blameless. I have kept myself from sin. And it is him, the Lord Jesus, who rescues us. He is the one who has defeated the enemy. He is the one. If David is doing nothing else, he's giving us a picture of the Lord Jesus. So Jesus is the rock as we face an uncertain future. We must trust in Christ the rock at this difficult time of Brexit and the rest. It is confusing. Who knows what's going to happen? And I know there's fear in a lot of people. Jesus needs to be our rock. Just two more things as we finish. Verse 19, David says, the Lord has brought me out to a spacious place. Say that without sitting. I love that concept. This refuge, this rock, this stronghold that God brings us to is a spacious place. There's room for all of us, and there's room for every part of us. There is room to spread out and to be at peace. There is room. This psalm doesn't say we won't go through troubles. On the contrary, it implies we will go through troubles and we'll have to work hard. But if we trust in him, he will bring us out to a spacious place. And finally, may we go back right to the beginning, which we've already looked at. David begins, "I love you, Lord, my strength. I love you, Lord." Do you know, apparently, the books tell me, this is the only time this construction is used in the whole of the Psalms. And that particular verse is not in 2 Samuel 22, where the psalm appears again. "I love you, Lord." David only used that terminology once. "I love you, Lord." And yet we've sung it this morning. We have, haven't we? "I love you." Have we sung it this morning? I feel as though we have. "I love you, Lord." We can say, "I love you, Lord." We can sing it because of what he's done for us. We can sing, "We love you, Lord," because he brings us to a spacious place. And we can sing, "We love you, Lord," because he alone is the rock, our refuge, and our Redeemer. He alone. Christ alone. Christ alone. And that's the cue for our final hymn that we're going to sing together. Christ alone. He is our rock. He is our fortress. Let's sing Christ alone together, if we can get it up on